Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 98, Building Our Magician's Wand.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, once again, it's been an interesting week with Uranus turning retrograde on the 15th. And so now we have a lot of planets going backwards, so-called, and it's really deepening our awareness of who we are, our uniqueness, what makes us tick, what's important to us as human beings. And that's what I've been talking about over these last few weeks. I hope you've enjoyed finding your senses, enjoying your senses, finding ways to touch, finding ways to increase the aromas around you, and being able to see more clearly, hear more clearly. I worked on, as I often do, is what do I want to talk about this podcast? And the words that came to my mind were about responsibility and accountability, the difference between these two. And I started to create this podcast, and then it didn't feel absolutely right until I came back to my center. I went into my stillness and I went, no, what we're really doing is once again working with two different energies that create that third wonderful energy that makes up what I call our magician's wand. Now, I hope I haven't confused you too much. But what we are looking at is responsibility actually comes from the word spondere, which actually means to keep a pledge or to make a pledge or to write a contract. And so responsibility means to renew that pledge or to make sure you keep it. So when we are responding to something, we are acknowledging that there's something inside us that we already know that we now need to bring into manifestation. In other words, if I'm responding to my intuition is actually saying, you know, this is the next step on your path, Christine. Let's get you moving. So to respond to the call of our soul, to respond to our intuition is to be responsible. Okay, so it's that call, it's that feeling that something has to happen. And of course, many times we are called and we don't do anything. So as I've spoken about when I'm teaching intuition, I often find that many people are very, well, everybody is intuitive, but not everybody follows through on their messages. They get distracted, or we think maybe I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe I'm not good enough. So at the throat chakra, the energy comes in, we hear the call, and then that lovely throat chakra says, maybe not. So we make excuses, or we ask questions, or we say, well, when I've got time, when I, or if I, or how am I going to do this? We ask all those questions and nothing actually moves forward. So the first part of our responsibility is not to other people. Remember, other people don't exist except in our hologram. You might say, no, they do exist. No, you actually have responded to calling them in to be part of your story, your events, your experiences. So let's not get lost in that. Let's come back to hearing the call and remembering that that call is resonating with something you already know inside yourself. So it's not like, oh, I hear a call, I don't know why I'm bothering to follow it. The very concept of hearing the call and knowing that you want to step on that path is because you already know this is right. Remembering that the highest level of intuition is that knowingness. Remember that time where you just go, well, that's of course what I'm going to do. That's responsibility. That's us stepping into that phase. We don't ask anybody. We don't question ourselves. And we just move in a direction Some might call it we're following our bliss or we're following our passion. And as I've explained before, sometimes it's a little scary. It's like, wow, am I really going to do this? But that 99% of you says, of course you're going to do this. It's only the 1% that goes, why am I doing this? So that responsibility is following that pledge that you took to fulfill your destiny this life. And I'm often asked, you know, what's my destiny? What am I here for? It's all very well to know what you're here for. And I have to tell you, I've never known why I'm here. It's not important to me. It's more important to me that I follow the call. And so even knowing doesn't actually make any difference, I've found. And I've talked to lots of people who have been told, oh, they're meant to write a book or they're meant to do this. But unless you have that courage to step into the unknown, because it is the unknown. In other words, just because you know maybe you're going to write a book, you still have to have the courage to get going and to start that project. So sometimes not knowing is actually easier because you're halfway along and you went, oh, now I know what I'm about to do. I wonder if any of you have had that experience that you're actually just followed the call and the call may have taken you somewhere and it's only in retrospect you realize why or what you're meant to be doing in that place. And I've told stories about this before about my own journey of why I ended up doing something, even though at the time I thought I was going to do it for a different reason. Why we might join a class of some type and we might think, wow, this, I'm here to listen to the teacher, when really we're here to talk to the person who also joined the class from this inner pledge, this responsibility, and they have the next part of our journey, or they give us that next idea of what we're going to do. All right, so responsibility is following that call, stepping onto the path. And this is the first step of developing our magician's wand. Now, in esoteric teachings, it's called the Ida, the Pingali, and the Shushma. And I'm not going to get too lost in these words, but the magician's wand is always seen as being made up of three different strands. And anybody who's listened to me before is going, oh no, she's back to her trinity again. But there's always the light, the moon that we all worked with in previously. There is the waxing moon, the waning moon, and then the combination of the two, or how they come together. There's the yin and the yang and the line that joins them. So these are the three qualities of your magician's wand. And they align very strongly to the energy that runs up and down our spine. Okay, so in ancient times, we understood that this energy, some people call it kundalini energy, but I think it's better just to call it energy. The energy that flows from the root chakra beneath our feet, up through the base chakra, all the way up, up and over the top of our head to the third eye, which makes it like a shepherd's crook, and then up to the crown chakra. So that's one strand. But there's also another strand that comes down from the crown chakra all the way down to the root chakra. And I'm not going to say you need to get worried, which one shall I do first? This isn't that matter. But this is the true meaning, alchemical meaning of the message that says, as below, so above, as above, so below. You may not know that those two pieces came together. We often only use one of those phrases. But it's literally showing us that we're cyclical, where there's an in-breath, an out-breath, a up, a down, and no one is more important than the other. So if I could keep it like that, the Ida and the Pingalia, they're both needing to be present in order to create that third energy. But if we're just going to step back, and I will step back into my concept of responsibility. Responsibility is the building of that first strand of the magician's wand. The willingness to take something that's a seed and plant it and nurture it and see it grow and see it grow until we have the fullness of the bloom. That is responsibility. Seed, courage, nurturing, blooming. That's that in-breath. And we call that often the hero's journey. If you've been reading my Heart of the Great Mother book, that's that first phase, going through the astrological signs from Aries to Leo. All right, so our ability to respond and to follow through goes from Aries, the seed, Taurus, the nurturer, Gemini, the power, Cancer, the ability to take on board those things that we've created, and then Leo to stand in our own light. It's interesting that we're just about to have a Leo full moon, a new moon, or we have a Leo new moon. So that ability to respond has got nothing to do with anybody else. That's what I wanted to say. So when I hear someone say, you're responsible for me, or you're responsible for my health, or I expect you to be responsible, that's fantasy. The only thing I can do is be responsible for my energy, for my manifestation. So if my manifestation, my development of that first strand corresponds to me helping you, that's great. I will respond to my call to do that, not your call for me to do that. Does that make a difference? Yes. There's so much spraying at the moment of responsibility. It's your fault. Everybody's looking for everybody else to blame. No, you actually, well, I'm moving into accountability here, but the sense is my responsibility is to respond to the call within me to do the very best I can do in this situation. That's all I can do. That's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to do the same for yourself. So I'm not responsible for making someone happy or unhappy. I'm not responsible for meeting someone's needs or not meeting their needs. I'm not responsible for making someone healthy or unhealthy. I cannot do that. I'm not that powerful. How does that feel for you? All I can do is to make myself the healthiest I can be. Meet my own needs, to take care of my own emotions. That's all I can do. And I expect everybody else to do the same. Now, you might say, I shouldn't have any expectations. But basically, when someone says, I expect you to meet my responsibility, to be responsible for me, to fulfill my contract, we can't do that. And I'm moving away from health to when I hear that being said about children and parents. I had children so that they would be responsible for me in my older age. Or you have a responsibility towards me as a parent, a child, a partner, a friend. No, I don't have a responsibility towards you. That's your expectations. That's actually someone else not meeting their own needs. And I have nothing to do with that. Wow, I hope you're really taking this on board. All I want you and me and everyone around us to do is to live by their own pledge. What is the contract I made to fulfill my destiny? What is my destiny? What is the contract I said, this is what I'm going to do this life? That's all I can do. And being influenced by somebody else's needs is not my concern. Now, you might say, that sounds really selfish. No, it's actually really clear and very clean. Again, my responsibility may well be taking care of you or taking care of a parent in my older years or in their older years or taking care of. That may be part of my pledge, but I have to hear that, not you telling me that. That makes everything so much simpler. Okay, my friends, we'll all breathe and we'll move on to the next phase. So that was the in-breath. And if we just all did that, that would be fantastic because we fall out. We, in other words, I talk about unity consciousness being everyone laying down their piece of jigsaw on this earth. In other words, fulfilling their destiny. If everybody would just concentrate on their piece of jigsaw, we create a unified field. A unified field of diversity, because none of the pieces of jigsaw are the same. But oh no, we don't do that. No, no, I'm going to come and help you put your piece of jigsaw in the right place, because my piece of jigsaw is very boring, or my piece of jigsaw is not good enough, or I think you're better than I am, or you deserve more than I. So please lay down your piece of jigsaw, concentrate on that. That would be fantastic if we just did that. No more excuses. No more, I don't know what I'm talking about. No more, I wish I knew where my path was. Follow the signs, follow the synchronicities, ask for help from your guidance. It's there. But then once you receive that help, don't then say, don't like that help, give me some more. So now we come to the second part, which is accountability. And accountability is the second phase, the out breath. So they're not the same. And it's similar to emotions and feelings being different. Emotions are the energy in motion. What is the energy I use to fulfill or create something from an idea into manifestation? That's emotion. Feelings are, what do I sense after I've done that? What is the feedback? So we don't say I'm using my feelings to create something. We use our emotions to create something. And then the feedback is our feelings. And everything has a feedback, cause and effect. Now, when we don't feel, we're not sensitive to what's actually happening. That's not helpful. Because our feelings help us to define whether or not we do the same thing again. And if we don't feel, we're just going to repeat the same patterns without ever maybe learning or growing. That's the only reason we have feelings. Is, okay, that's not quite what I wanted. Let's do it differently. Yes? So in the same way, responsibility is that ability to put something into motion. Accountability, listen to the word, especially if English is your first language. Accountability is what is the account? How did I pay? What did I receive back? In other words, because I did this thing, what is the payback, the result, the reward? I mean, I'll use those words, but it's really about how did I grow? How did I learn? What was the wisdom that I experienced? What choices will I make differently? What are the fruits of my endeavors? What's the harvest? Maybe that's another word I can use. Does that make sense? So accountability is really the harvest. But it's not just, wow, look at that, I've received that. It's also, I have to say, and what am I going to learn from that? So yes, it's receiving back, but it's also maybe not just going around in circles, but spiraling to a next level. Every time we take accountability of something, we actually complete a cycle and we move to a next level on the spiral. So accountability helps us to spiral and spiritually grow. And this is a really difficult phase, because not only are we not always good at responding, you know, we don't listen, but even when we get to the time of the Leo, the crowning, look at what I've done. One of our things we don't do is celebrate what we've done. We go, oh, that was easy. I'll just go on to the next thing. No, celebration at the top of that in-breath is really important. But then the accountability is, what am I receiving back? And if I have had a bad experience, and of course many of us have had bad experiences or experiences that we don't necessarily want to repeat, but if in having that experience, we just discount it or discard it and say, oh, I didn't do that, that wasn't me, then what happens is the very juice that we could have taken from that, the very blessings, the very energy that could have helped us to grow, we never grow. So they're all pieces of our creativity lying around waiting for us to be accountable for them. And without accountability, not only do we spray everybody else with our unpossessed, dispossessed parts of us, i.e. pointing a finger. I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault. We also can't grow in ourselves. So however painful accountability can be, and truly it is not about blame, even though that's what people say. Are you trying to blame me? No. I'm trying to honor each of us as a highly evolved spiritual human being who made a choice to create something. And even though the occurrence was painful, difficult, whatever, unless I say I accept accountability for having created this scenario. Now, that's a huge statement. I know that some of you are saying she's crazy. But unless I even just pay accountability that I was part of that story, I can never move on from it. Even though it was the very worst part, even if I just say I was there. That accountability helps us to move. But if when that experience happened, we say, no, it was someone else and it was so awful, I'm never going to go there. We're never going to be able to move on. And I even hear some people say to me, wow, it's just silly me. I'm always doing things like that. And yeah, I was there, but it was just, it's just silly me. I'm sorry, but that's really not accountability. That's just kind of playing with the energy. Only when we can say, I took part and I learned from that and maybe I contributed. I'm sorry, I've got to say that. But in many times, there is a part of us that contributed to that. And again, that's not a blame and a judgment, but what part of us played into something that we don't ever want to do that again? And it is hard. I'm not every way not, and I'm always, as you can hear, stepping around this, but unless we can say it was because I didn't have the courage to speak out, or it was because I didn't have, or because I allowed someone to tell me what to do, that this situation came into being. It doesn't mean that the other person is not fully responsible for their part in this or accountable, as we're talking about. But unless we see a part of us that says, I will do something different, I will be braver, I'll speak out, I'll never let that happen to me again, we get locked into that old story and never can move. And that's that second strand. So what we do is, as we breathe out, we take ownership of whatever it is that we want to take ownership and really take ownership and say, yep, that was the part of me, and we bring it to our heart. And in bringing it to our heart, we literally bring the energy, and the energy becomes lighter because the light has been turned on. We've shifted that heaviness of the story into a light of illumination. We've become enlightened by our experience. And when we become enlightened by an experience, our heart gets lighter. One of our petals gets brighter. And this is why the Egyptians weighed the heart against the feather. Because the more experiences we've had that we ate the fruits of our endeavors, we gained in wisdom, we became lighter, our light body became brighter. That's what showed the enlightenment, the level of evolution as a spiritual human being. And the Inca used to do something similar. They would weigh the spine of someone who died, saying that the heavier the spine, the less this person had evolved through the stages of their chakra system. Now, I'm not putting this in alignment to osteoporosis. I'm saying what they recognize, that every time we move energy up the spine, we're responsible, and I'll say down the spine, that we're accountable. And we light up, we become more and more aware, lighter, the light comes on. The more that happens, the brighter our lights in our chakras become. It isn't just a one-way street, as some people would like to think, it's not just like I bring the energy up through a chakra, ding, I'm enlightened. No, we constantly are moving energy up and down the chakra system, up and down the energy system. And every time that light comes on, each chakra becomes brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And what we call the light body becomes developed, the body that is beyond our physical body, our emotional body, our astral body. You could call it your soul body becomes lighter. And when these two energies come together, they create the third strand, the Shushumna, which is the third strand of the magician's wand. And the magician's wand is, if you remember Lord of the Rings, it's almost like Gandalf's wand, his staff. It's often seen as a staff. Moses picked up the serpent, became his staff, his wand. All these symbols show this same thing. And it's also known as the Ankh in Egyptian. It's a key. So the magician's wand is shaped sometimes like a staff, a shepherd's staff, sometimes like a key. And that key then fits into the heart portal. In other words, every time we bring something to our heart, we're actually building a doorway. And that doorway, which is like a Vesica Pisces doorway, eventually we can fit our Ankh into it, the key into it, and open the door to these multidimensional levels. And that's a simple story of building our magician's wand. But I bring you back just to these simple phases. Today, I want to really reiterate between responding to your own call, your own pledge to yourself, not to other people. Again, it doesn't mean you dissociate from them, but your responsibility has to come from your inner knowing that that's what you chose to do. Accountability is taking back into ourselves the lessons we've learned. What am I harvesting? And when we are not accountable for our actions, we cannot harvest anything. So I'm just going to give us a very brief little meditation, if that would be good for you. Please, if you're in a safe place to close your eyes, please do so. Take a few good deep breaths, short breath in and long breath out. Settling into your body. Finding that still point, that place your thinking is not happening. Your breath is just easy. Settle into your heart. As this portal through which you can travel anywhere. Portal of love, consciousness. And let us travel to beneath the Great Pyramid. So you can go beneath the Sphinx. But let's just stay with the Egyptian idea. This is the place of reckoning. And it's not a reckoning of judgment. It's a place of accountability, where everything that we've done, everything we've experienced is looked at. Not from a judgment place, but really just from a place of how are you doing? How are we doing in our lives? And you can be sitting. And there were three beautiful light beings, beings who have seen you through so many lifetimes. They may be humanoid in shape, maybe anything. But they're so pleased to see you and to greet you back into this place of creation, which is also the place of reckoning. And they bring towards you a parchment where it can be, have hieroglyphics on it, it can have writing, symbols, whatever. But it's quite long. And you see that you've signed it at the bottom. And this was the parchment where you wrote your contract. Your contract for this life. And some of you could see that you have a contract for many lives. but your beautiful light beings are smiling at you. They're so pleased with what you've achieved from this parchment, from your contract. And you look at it and you can say, yes, look, I did that. Yes, that's me. But you're recognizing that it's less about what you did, but the courage you took to start the process, to nurture it, to bring it to fruition. In other words, the journey was more important than the goal. And now they want you to look at the accountability side. And you see that there are maybe experiences in your life which you've kind of either ignored or you've put in the hands of someone else. And they're wanting you to finish your accounts. They want you to close your accounts on these particular issues. And that may not be possible during this one meditation. But they're asking you to maybe look at three events where you realize that there's still old energy there. Maybe there's still hurt, disappointment, confusion. And I'm going to suggest you might come back to these events. But you want to be asking yourself, how do I close this account? Maybe I just need to honor the fact that I created it as a great being, even though it was a very painful experience. Maybe I just need to forgive, let go, not wait for some response that I may be wanting. Maybe you need to bring to your heart a part of you that was very much part of this event. And you just want to honor that part of you and say, thank you, but we are not going to act in that way ever again. Of course, there may be also the part of you that needs to really take account of what was the part you really played in this event? No blame. But something you know inside you that you've been trying to avoid. I'm just giving you that space to just reflect. And I would ask that you go back to maybe events that have still got energy in them and ask those questions. How do I close this account? Forgiveness, ownership at a much deeper level, just acknowledging a part of you that was involved. And what you'll notice is that as you close an account, it's almost as if that energy gets taken back into the parchment. Parchment becomes enriched. You become enriched by that closing of the account. And other things come to the surface. Other parts of the contract become more obvious to you. It's almost like sometimes we need to close an account before something new can open. We need to be accountable before we can respond to something new. And I would just ask your light beings for help in one area. Maybe there's an account you don't know how to close. Maybe there's a part of you that's balking, holding back from responding to something that's coming in your direction. Just for a moment, ask for their help. And now, knowing you can come back here anytime, to this place of reckoning in the very nicest way, this place of where you wrote the pledge and where you could see how you're doing. Before you leave, these beautiful light beings give you a wand. Like Harry Potter, your wand can be made from anything. But it is in using the wand to create the magic and to take the magic back into your wand, responding, accounting, that builds the strength of the wand. Receive your wand. And then with your wand, holding on to it, saying farewell to your light beings for the moment, bring your awareness back fully to the room where you are. When you're ready, open your eyes. Please make a note of your findings. And enjoy using your wand. Many blessings until next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.